This is the Saxo Market Call, daily insights on what is moving the financial markets.
Hello and welcome to the Saxo Market Call. It is Thursday, 11th of November, 2021. And should just note that it is a banking holiday in various places in Europe and the US. No bonds market open in the US, so we shouldn't be seeing much happening follow-up of yesterday in yields, but the equity market is open today. So yesterday, a very interesting day. Obviously, if anybody's involved in the markets, you know this. We had the CPI data out of the US, very, very hot, 0.9% month-on-month in the headline, 0.6% at the core. That beat the 0.6, 0.4 expected respectively. And then that 6.2% year-on-year print on the headline, the highest since the early 90s, and it really only missed by a tenth of a percent being the highest since the early 80s on the headline. Very impressive stuff. It saw yields spiking higher. It saw equity prices sharply lower as we pulled forward the pricing on Fed rate hikes for next year. Interesting day, though, Peter, because we have all that going on. We have all the Tesla sell-off and the Twitter poll that Musk did and this huge meltdown we've seen in Tesla this week. But at the same time, maybe some of that money was pulled to invest in this Rivian IPO, managing a valuation of $85 billion on its first day of trading. Pretty impressive given the backdrop, I would say.
Yeah, the backdrop is zero revenue, right? But they have commercial delivery rant coming to the market. So, and Rivian has some pretty firm backing from Amazon, which obviously will be a big driver of demand for these vehicles as soon as they get them on the street. So, interesting session. We're bouncing back in here in early European trading hours across the board. We're up 2% in China. We had better than expected. We had a positive expected news coming out from Evergrande overnight, right? So they paid just before the deadline, their interest on $3 bonds, and that really sent a relief through the market across Chinese equities. Not so happy, and not so happy stock in the Chinese equity market was Tencent. The Tencent reported yesterday, and the growth rate is now the lowest it has been since 2004. And on slide 3, I've put in a little insert courtesy of Bloomberg, where you can see how the growth rate is slowing down. And I mean, at the current levels, and that's even factoring in a 40% drawdown from the peak, Tencent is trading at 20 times forward EV to EBITDA, which is pretty, that's a steep valuation relative to if revenue growth rate is coming down to these levels around 10 to maybe 13% on this technology crackdown in China. So this is getting serious for investors in that part of there. And I just quickly say, John, on the inflation, I remember we said on the podcast, I showed this chart that if you took month-on-month changes in inflation since the 1960s, there was a statistically significant autocorrelation in the following 3 months. Said in another way, just like volatility, when you have an initial spike, it doesn't go away very quickly. It sticks for quite a while. I think actually the autocorrelation was pretty positive all the way 9 months out. So the Fed is getting a little bit of their headache here. And I just finally, before Theo will probably take over on interest rates, I think, and we did discuss that on our internal call, but I think there will be a big showdown inside the Fed between those that make market prediction based on other input than computer models, and then the ones that are hardcore on the econometric models, because they have been dead wrong about all the dynamics through this pandemic for years. And can you have policy rates being set by these econometric models when they can't factor in the right dynamics? I find that a very, very, very tough discussion going forward.
Yeah. And then there's that little need called funding the US government, which is a separate issue you have on the side. But let's run, before I get to you, Altea, and I want you to run through what you're seeing in US Treasuries after yesterday. But I just want to put up the reaction function in terms of the short-term interest rate futures, which are a decent proxy for what the Fed is, or what the market is pricing in from the Fed. And you can see that on slide 4 in today's slide deck, where I put the December 2022 Eurodollar STIR, so 3-month interest rate at the time, and then the one for further out in December 2024. And you see the discrepancy there in terms of we're at cycle highs and expectations for yields on the left. So we're pricing in a little bit more than 2 hikes or the risk of a little bit more than 2 hikes by the end of next year, if we look at the interest rate predictions in Bloomberg. And However, we're not at the highs of the cycles, interestingly, for a bit further out. So it seems to be there is some concern, although we did see long end yields coming up. There's some concern out there that growth is going to be, or certainly real growth, is going to be in a very bad place on all this inflation that is going to hit markets. And then the policy tightening that is going to have to happen on the tail of that. I don't know what your take is on that, but there's a lot of moving parts here in the treasury market. So I'll let you take it away.
Thank you, John. I believe that when we look at the day of yesterday, we have to go in order. So we had a very strong CPI number, and you see on slide 5, the CPI number were released at 2 p.m. Berlin time, and the front part of the yield curve, the 2 years and the 5 years spiked, while the 10 years and the 30 actually didn't do much. The 30 years at the beginning started to fall by a few basis points. The reaction on the market right then was that interest rate hikes were advancing, and so the yield curve was a bear flattening, and obviously there was some fears that, as you rightly said, there would have been an economic slowdown because of that. However, things changed very quickly with the 30 years auction that was around 6 p.m. So what happened there is that we have seen the ugliest 30-year auction ever, at least for me, because it tailed 5.2 basis points, which was the most for any 30-year tenor on record. The indirect bidders were down to 59%, the lowest since November 2019, and that was enough for also the long part of the yield curve to spike, and we have seen basically 30 years yields rising as much as 1.99% and 10 years yields rising to 1.58% before recovering some losses. I think that the message of the bond market yesterday was very precise. It basically shows that investors are reluctant to take a duration at current yield levels. And the reason for that is that inflation is rising tirelessly and the Fed is tapering. I think that this week volatility is quite telling, and it shows that going forward, we will see more bear flattening of the yield curve, because obviously interest rate expectation hikes will need to advance, but it doesn't mean that the long part of the yield curve will fall. They should rise as well, even though at a slower pace than the front part of the yield curve. I want to flag that next week we have a 20-year U.S. Treasury auction, and that's going to be very important because that 20 years tenor is much less liked, is less popular than this week 10 and 30 years benchmark tenors. So there is all the possibility to see more volatility next week.
All right. And then I'm looking through the Euribor, so the European short-term interest rate futures, and these are on the move as well. I think probably some contagion there from the U.S. numbers. What's your take on whether we can really get this yield curve lifting off in Europe as well?
Yes, John, I think that what is interesting, and I'm going to take you to slides number 6, is that while the yield curve in the US was bear flattening yesterday, in the EU, the German Bund yield was bear steepening. And I think that the difference in movement can be explained by the fact that while in the US, the market expects earlier interest rate hike expectation, does it move the front part of the yield curve and even more the belly of the yield curve. In Europe, interest rate hikes expectations are much later in time. Therefore, they move the longer part of the yield curve.
Okay. And then we rounding out the sovereign space then in your slides today, the UK yields, we saw some pretty tepid data out of the UK this morning. I think it's a little bit early to take away too much from UK data with the end of the furlough scheme, et cetera. But what's your take on gilts? Are they going to follow the US's lead here?
I believe that there is room for gilts to rally again. Yesterday, the 10, well, gilts across the curve, actually, the yield rose together with US Treasury yields. But today, we had weak GDP data coming out from the UK, very weak output numbers. And we cannot forget that the market is still pricing four interest rate hikes in the UK for 2022, which is much more aggressive than what we have seen in the Federal Reserve. So there is plenty of room for the market to scale back on these interest rate hikes expectations and the gilts to rally. We could see, as you can see on slide seven, the gilt falling as much as 0.76% before resuming their rise.
All right, so we have the fixed income curves on the move, but something else is on the move, and this is really the theme, I think, and I'm sure what I'll end up labeling the podcast today, and that is whether gold is showing the way. So I showed yesterday a chart where I combined the U.S. 30-year T-bond futures, gold, and yen, showing how they all moved in sync on Friday with that news about Lael Brainard potentially being appointed as the new Fed chair. We've seen some divergence since then. And the main divergence is that while the yen is weaker and we have the fixed income selling off and US yields higher, gold is higher as well. A huge, almost like a tearing sound, if you will, in some of those correlations. Gold quite strong this morning. It pulled back from yesterday's highs quite a bit, but it's back on the bid this morning, even with a very strong dollar. And I'm trying to take us through why this is so important on slide eight and what I think may be going on here. So if you stick with me, first of all, the technical break is quite obvious. We have that trend line that fell, that very clear 1835 level that fell in spot gold. We have gold ripping higher, and it's doing what it's supposed to do when you want to see gold doing something. It's ripping higher across the board. So the dollar is quite strong here, very strong, in fact. And it's, of course, up even more against other currencies. And then on the right, I'm showing a couple things. I'm showing the black line is the five-year break-even inflation. These jerked higher on this very hot inflation data. And the so-called real yields going lower as we have the market needing to buy up. So we have nominal yields heading higher, but they're not heading as quickly higher as inflation fears. So that means real yields are dropping. That is the most supportive thing for gold here. So it's not about nominal yields direction. It's about real yields direction. That is so critical for looking at gold here. And so is gold leading the way? I think it is right now. And that is in control of what is going on. I suppose, Peter, to some degree, the real yield situation should ease some of the pain for stocks if there is concern that inflation is headed higher and central banks are set to tighten policy.
Yeah, it's one of those questions. It's I think the lower real yields for now at least is supporting equities. But I mean the data we have looked at on inflation versus equities. I mean it is the nominal inflation rate which is typically hitting equities pretty hard. Also because there is a limit to how deep I think the real rates can go, because as we've talked about endlessly, you and I, John, it basically destroys capital. If you are at these levels. I should have put in this chart. I looked at it yesterday. So if you invested in the US Treasury curve at the end of 2015 and then you held the bonds all the way to today, you would have had zero real rate return. And if you look at the current inflation rate and the current coupon rate offered, yield to maturity on that curve, you will go very steep into negative. So that's the situation on the ground. In terms of equities, the big risk, of course, is the interest rate, right? Because we know the interest rate sensitivity, we talked about it in our outlook, is significantly higher. So it is one of those main things that could really reset, especially if you get higher interest rates. So the most ugly combination would be high interest rates because of high inflation. The central bank has to defend, you know, the currencies and the integrity. And then at the same time, you have a growth slowdown that could potentially be driven by China slowing down and finding a new growth model. If that was the case, if you get that combination, then it's very ugly for equities, because then you have, you know, lower growth in cash flows, but you will have higher refinancing rate and you have a higher discount rate in your cash flow. So that would be bad. Anyway, John, let's just quickly talk. Slide 10, the stocks on the move today that I think you should watch if you're interested in this space. I won't go through all the names. I think for those that are trading here in Europe, I think the most interesting trade will be in Delivery Hero today, because they're lifting their guidance. And they're not lifting their margin expectations, but that's because they're investing heavily into the business. But it's a growth stock that is very, very popular with retail traders. So I really think that's where there will be a lot of price action today. And then tomorrow, if you trade in Hong Kong, Tencent and Evergrande are still in focus. And for those reasons, I write there. Tesla, I think, again, will take center stage in the US trading. There's just immense amount of volatility around this whole, selling shares from Elon Musk and the whole, the Rivian we talked about. It's just everything, the whole EV space and everything around Tesla is just extreme high volatility. And then Beyond Meat was down 12% in extended trading on very ugly figures for Q3 and a terrible guidance for Q4. And then my final comment is that the only US earnings we will be looking at today is Qbang, which is the biggest e-commerce company in South Korea. It's all about margins. I mean, they need to lift their margins because they have a huge stronghold in South Korea, and they need to prove that they can have a positive operating profit. And then they are in the middle of doing a pretty significant internationalization, and we need to see that internationalization is on track, because that's where the future growth will be. They need a lot of growth to justify the valuation. So we'll be looking at that.
All right. And I forgot to round off my comments in the FX space as well. So with that gold move, looking at 1900 plus that big previous pivot high from back May, June of this year. And then on slide 9, just noting, I just want to underline, the degree to which gold and even silver to a degree are outperforming the entire rest of the FX space. I think that's a very telling development, as indicated. The thing to me that sticks a little bit wrong here is the strong dollar. I don't really see how this it's fine. It's a technical break, a strong dollar. We need to adjust to higher the Fed expectations, but I suspect that the Fed is going to be a laggard, and a dollar strength becomes very destructive if it continues. And it's at quite pronounced levels. The euro is extremely weak here, also because there's a drift higher in terms of real effective terms over time. So we accept it. It's breaking higher. The trend is clear, but just a note of skepticism there on how much and how much this can extend, as I think real yields in the U.S. will underperform. Therefore, that's a fundamental drawback of the dollar. Today's calendar, again, the bank holiday in the U.S. and the bond market's not trading, stock market open. We have an OPEC monthly oil report. We'll have Ola to update us on the oil market going forward. Pretty interesting sell-off yesterday. Let's see if that sticks. Mexican Central Bank announcement, they're expected to hike 25 basis points and a couple of ECB speakers. So not a busy calendar for the day. I think it's all about how the market settles out here. And again, it's highlighting that the gold move, we think gold is showing the way. Gold is higher. This is a massive break. So it's a big instrument to focus on in the coming days and weeks ahead. For now, that's a wrap. We'll be back tomorrow with Saxo Market Call.
Thanks for listening. This has been the Saxo Market Call. For feedback and questions, reach out to us on Twitter @SaxoMarketCall or by email, marketcall@saxobank.com.